Hello, and welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, recorded this past Saturday, August 21st on WJR. Good evening, and welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown. Gary Baker and Tom Dyroff are in studio with me to help answer your questions. We're going to take a quick pause, and when we come back, we're going to dive right back into answering your phone calls at 1-800-859-0WJR. That's 1-800-859-0957. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Tom Dyroff in studio. Ed Riddell and Cal Carson are off for this weekend. By the way, mentioning Cal Carson, check our internetadvisor.net homepage out, and you will notice that there is a link there to an event coming up this weekend. Click the news button at the top of the page. That's
right.
How it is.
That's right.
And that'll take you to all of the information for this week, and there you will see that the Detroit Mac Group is having their meeting coming up tomorrow, Sunday, August 22nd, starts at 2 p.m. with their expert panel. That's at the Birmingham Temple.
Yep. And they have a genius table there. So.
And then the regular meeting starts at 3 o'clock. But you can get more meeting about the Detroit Mac Group meeting by going in again to our Internet Advisor website and click on News at the top of the page, and then you'll see the event notice.
One of the oldest Mac user groups in the country is located right here. In fact, at one point, when Steve Wozniak, one of
the two Steves
that were founders of Apple, came here, he came into the studio and came on the show. What a great guy! Unassuming guy.
Yeah, I still have it in my. I still have his business card. Oh,
yeah.
In my folder here.
His plastic business card.
He was a hoot. He was a delight.
He was great. So, and he came specifically because the Mac Group enjoys such a reputation within the Mac community.
Tremendous.
And it's right here in Detroit, so
well earned too.
Yep.
And so that's more information on that, or go to macgroup.org.
See, I can talk about really great things and really compliment Apple and Cal and some of the others.
Both Cal and Eric are gone.
Both are gone. So I can do that if they ever found out that I did this.
There you go. There's the dark side. All right, let's get to our callers. John from Canton, thank you for waiting. And now let's see if we can help you with your question on the Internet Advisor.
Well, I wanted to pass on some information about Norton Identity Safe because I think you might have been a little misleading.
Oh.
Because I do use it, recommend it to people that I set up security for.
Okay.
And one of the nice things about it is that the Identity Safe itself is encrypted by a password.
Ah.
Right.
So before you can use it, you have to type in your own personal password. It's linked to the identity that you have set up on your computer. So,
yeah. So and we did say that. Maybe it didn't come across very clearly. And the one problem with that, and I do it too, so I want to tell you I'm same as you. I use it myself. But the one problem is that if they get a hold of that one single password, then they
have
access
to all of them. That is always
the issue.
That is always the issue with password safes of whatever mark you're talking about, of whatever brand you're calling about. But thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, that really helped. If it didn't come across clearly to you, it didn't come across very clearly to others. So thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Right. You betcha.
Appreciate it very much. And thank you, by the way. Feel free out there.
Yes.
If we say something that needs to be corrected or amplified, give us a call. We really appreciate that. And the number is the same for that one, 1-800-859-0957.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this is really a little community, not all online. It's partially online and partially here on the air every Saturday, 5 to 7. But we do rely on other people to help us, not only in our forums all week online, but call in here. If sometimes we get stumped. Other times we may not be clear, as in the case of the last caller, or sometimes we're just wrong. And we need some help. So
you know what? I'm going to go to Jim on line one from Dexter because, Jim, you have a clarification about the Microsoft updates and the automatic nature of those.
Well, yeah, I was wondering, I think it was mentioned just in passing that you intend to automatically use all the security updates and all that. I had the question of the automatic feature. I've sort of found if I leave things on an automatic update, next thing I know, I have all kinds of extra features, and it's grabbed a hold of whatever controls I had on something, and got a whole different computer next time I look.
Tom, can I get Tom to clarify something on there? Excuse me, Gary, but because there are different automaticnesses that you can choose when you're updating from Microsoft, you can
automatically simply have it download but not install them, right?
That's correct. That's right. And unfortunately, a lot of times, even though you've downloaded them, you don't see that they're downloaded, and you don't update them as quickly and efficiently as you need to in order to protect the system. Yeah, it's one of those mixed bag things that, darned if you do, darned if you don't situation.
Right.
And yeah, you do get extra features in there, like the Windows Genuine Advantage was one of the things that popped up a few years ago that people absolutely hated and everything. But the plus side is that your system needs those and can be protected more. I'm not sure what the best answer is.
I tend to choose automatically download them and inform me, but don't install them.
Yeah,
and that,
yeah, that
way,
makes sense.
I do that simply because there have been few, very, very few Microsoft updates in the past that have caused problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually try to wait a couple of days to see if there's any commentary on it.
Yeah.
And if there isn't, then boom, I'll go right ahead and put them in.
When you do that, though, you're taking a lot more active role in running your PC than a lot of people want to do.
Yes, in fact,
you're probably in the minority on
that. Absolutely, I'm sure I am.
And I ask for just notification, and then I'll decide if I want to download and install. And I download and install because if I do them separately, I'll forget to install it. I think most people...
Other people in our
family, they just automatic, and that's the way I've set it up for others because they won't do what I do to more actively manage the system.
Yeah, and for the most part, Microsoft is fairly responsible about not downloading stuff. They get a lot of grief even when the slightest thing goes wrong. So I think they're very sensitive to that, and I think they've been very responsible.
I absolutely agree. In fact, I may even move it to automatic at some point because there just haven't been the problems that there were in the past.
You're right.
There were problems in
the past. And I may do the same thing. Yeah. So, Jim, does that answer your question?
Pretty much. I guess I'm looking at other ones than just Microsoft, be it Adobe or Firefox or whoever.
I don't do that with any of the others.
If you just let it go automatic, you get toolbars and they start grabbing hold of all your videos and all of this.
Yes.
Yeah, I never let the other ones automatically do it. Never.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you said, for me, CCleaner is a real good example because that updates so often. If when you're downloading the update, you're not very careful, it will install a Yahoo toolbar and God knows what else on your computer.
Yeah,
but it gives you a screen where you can uncheck all those boxes.
Right. And most people don't read.
Yeah.
Right? I can't tell you how many people going, I forgot to read it and I just hit, I scrolled to the bottom and installed, and they installed it themselves.
But your point's well taken, Jim.
Yeah, they could have unchecked that box.
You can hit advanced even though I don't pretend to be that advanced, but then you can see what they're about to dump on, and then you take the one thing you need.
Jim, that's a really good point.
Good point.
Most of us, I would suggest that we probably don't need to do that. Because, again, and certainly if it's Microsoft, you run the risk of not installing a security update when you need to.
Yeah,
and when you need to,
automatic.
You need to, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for the rest of them, I want some control over what I install.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they have different partnerships today,
yep.
and you'll get something you want with something totally different.
Absolutely.
Right? Another software package you don't need.
Folks, this is a general, I'd say, when you're downloading a piece of software, check very carefully about what it's instructing about downloading. And all the things to come along with it. All right, sir, thank you very much for that call. And we are going to take a quick pause when we come back. Once again, our phone line, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. So good to be with you here on a Saturday afternoon. And I think even better, it's kind of a birthday present for me to have Tom Dyroff here. This is getting the old gang back together, Tom Dyroff, Gary Baker,
it is
and
fun.
Foster Brown. It's,
it was fun riding in with Tom today, and I'm sure riding out and hearing the breaks and whatnot. Not to mention, he brought your birthday cake.
My birthday cake, too. All right, by the way, I just put a little note up there, and this is props to my wife, Ginny. Ginny just reached her Weight Watcher goal. And she lost over 110 pounds.
Oh, congratulations
to
her.
So God bless her. Okay. She has worked so hard at that. It was over 2 years, and she's worked her heart out at it. We eat very differently because of it. And so, honey, I didn't bring any of the cake home. It's gone. Gene Fogel had a whole bunch of friends and relatives in, and it's gone, baby. Nothing's coming home. Not even the wrapper. Only the picture left on the website.
We were certainly thinking that, you know, with the Big Loser campaign between Scott Anderson Eric Anderson, our engineer and producer, that with Eric gone today and Cindy Cooper sitting in for him, we thought maybe we could entice Scott into a piece of cake. Yeah, he was.
Man of steel.
Boy.
He's looking forward to that brand new iPad.
And I even let it slip that Eric was behind all this. Which he wasn't, of course.
All right, let's get back to our phone callers and say hello to Greg from East Lansing, the home of the Spartans, whose football team will soon be in action here on the big WJR 760 AM. And Greg, welcome to WJR. How can we help you?
Thank you, guys. I've got a little issue with the IE8 on Windows XP.
The browser?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's popping up with a message saying your program on your computer has corrupted your default search provider settings for Internet Explorer. And when I go to look at it, it's got live search as the default, and I can't get rid of it. No matter what I've tried to do, I've followed instructions and everything, and you can't delete it. I deleted two other ones, but it won't let me get rid of live search.
Now, when did this start?
I think probably shortly after I installed IE8.
Yeah.
But how long ago?
It was probably about 6 months.
Oh, okay.
And for the restore.
So if, and I'm going to say this not for you because it's too late for you, but I'll say it for other people that are listening. If you're having a problem, don't let it go. Because you can use System Restore within the first 2 weeks and probably within the first month and just restore your system back to before the problem started. And it's probably an easy way to correct this one.
Mm-hmm. Although this would have simply erased IE8.
Right. And then he could have downloaded it again.
That's true.
So here's what we would suggest. If you were to go to the Microsoft site, and download a new version of IE8 and put it in a download folder. Just download it to the folder. Don't install it. You want to save it to that download folder. Then get offline and uninstall IE8.
Okay.
Now, what you'll have to do, there'll be little elements that will continue to run. So you'll have to uninstall it, then shut your system down, power it back up, and then shut it down again. Because what will happen is when you power it back up, you will take in the thing, those little elements that were being in use so they couldn't be uninstalled from IE8 the first time, will be uninstalled the second time. I've even had some people tell me that then they do a defrag.
That's really strong.
Yeah, and then that takes and erases any last little elements, right? Doesn't really erase them, but makes them completely unusable. Right. And then you turn around and go to your downloads folder and open up IE8, and then automatically hit the EXE, set up EXE, and then it'll automatically install. And that may clear the problem.
Tom, am I right that Internet Explorer 8, though, gives you an option for choosing the search?
It does, but he has a problem because he's got a file that's corrupted that allows that search.
Oh,
that
you can't even change that, huh?
Right. Correct.
And there are a number of people out there who are having similar problems, and one is really strange as I'm reading it right now. One solution is to go to Add and Remove Programs and remove Ask Search, the ASK search.
Oh.
For some reason, that fixed this one person's problem. So that
that's even easier than what I was using.
So you
try that first.
The other thing, too, is if it's really bothering you in the short term, you could load on Firefox and use that until you get the IE thing straightened out.
Good point. And he should have suit two browsers anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, we would recommend that, Greg, that you put a second browser on, whether it's Chrome or Safari or Firefox or Opera, any other one.
And then you could turn around and use Firefox to go to Microsoft, you know, remove the IE8, use Firefox because you want that on your as a check anyway.
Yep.
And then you could download it and install it.
Okay.
So you don't have to go through the interim save. But you'll want to power down and power up a couple times to remove the last little elements of IE8.
All right, great.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much for the question, and I hope we've helped a whole bunch of people with
Tom,
that.
Tom, thanks for looking that up. Did you find anything else?
It's just that he's not alone. And you know, these problems are so frustrating because, you know, a zillion people can download and install IE8 and not have problems,
and yet
a couple of people do. And
just by the way, is it true, Tom, that IE8 works, plays better with Windows 7 than it does with others, that it was really built to...
I don't know that for sure.
I don't know. I had heard that it was that doesn't play well with XP, but it plays very well with Windows 7. I don't know. And this has been my experience with Windows 7 that we have on Jenny's desktop.
Are you working on commission for the Windows 7 sales by chance?
I just say I love it on my wife's desktop where I use it. It really works wonderfully there. All right, let's go to Vince in Novi. And out there in Novi, how can we help you, Vince?
Yeah, hi. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I have a question here. I'm a diligent Microsoft user using Office 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Last night it worked wonderful. All the emails worked. This morning it did. There was a framework update, and I went to open a Word document and said there's not enough memory. Did the same thing on Outlook as well as Excel and any of the Office programs. And in searching the Internet, I really haven't found a good solution yet.
Well, the good thing,
Vince,
and it is what I had just mentioned with the last caller, which is because this just happened, you could take and use
the system reback. Oh, I tried that. I know what you're going to say. I listen to you guys all
system
the time.
Restore?
Yeah.
And
so did it work?
Unfortunately.
It didn't.
No, I went back several times in the week, and they didn't work at all. It wouldn't restore.
I'll be done.
Darn, that's my, you know, that's the golden.
That's his ace in the hole every time.
That's the golden shot. One of the other options is to create a new user profile or a new account.
True.
That I found that out on the web, but I don't know if that really fixed the inherent problem that's out there.
Tom?
Well, there is some stuff on the Internet talking about the normal.dot file being corrupted. And that if you erase that, delete that, and then open up Office again, it'll recreate that, and that might solve the problem.
That used to be a real problem.
That's back in the programs file?
Yeah.
Is that?
I'm not sure. It's in one of the
Office.
You
can search for it, though.
Yeah,
normal. You can simply search for normal.dot.
Yeah, normal.dot, and it's very common to delete that.
And it will recreate.
Yes. Yeah. However, the fact that you can go back in time and still have this problem is really bizarre.
Isn't
because
that
shouldn't happen. So I'd be starting to look at maybe running some malware utilities to just go through and check the system, make sure it's okay. The Microsoft Office diagnostics that you could try.
I was going to say they have it has its own diagnostics now, doesn't it?
But you know, when you think about it, what wouldn't normally be changed in a system restore would be something like your settings on your DOT.
Right.
So if those are corrupted, they wouldn't be changed back
right.
in a system restore.
Right.
So you actually may have it.
The other thing that I would absolutely 100% do is go into the event viewer, go into the system logs and the application logs, and see if there's any errors that are popping up. It may give you a clue that some sort of memory driver or some other driver is having a problem, and that may be the root of your problem.
Okay.
All right. Well, great. I'll give those a try.
All right. Good.
You know,
thank
we're
you
here
very
till
much.
7, or you could go to our internetadvisor.net in forums, and there's some other smart people there, including Cal and Ed and others that may be able to help you with a little more time to look up some of the other things. Because if you're Tom Dyeroff was right. If you're having this problem, there's probably other people out there on the Internet having the same problem.
And, Tom, I know that you and Ed and a lot of the other folks who are here to help us during the week and on the weekends will often go in and precisely look to forums to see what's going on in forums and see what questions people have, because answers are often found there. So that goes for our forum as well, because you've got people in there who can take the time to research something, and you also can get a number of different opinions on it for people who have researched this. And one of the people who often is in our forum here is Tom Dyeroff, along with a lot of other people out there who stick their nose into the help. Quick break, and when we come back, Pat, out there on a cell phone, we'll be back to help you with your Firefox problem in just a moment as the Internet Advisor continues. Thank you so much for joining us. And by the way, next week, back 5 to 7, and we're going to have a couple of guys on from a program called The iPad Show. Tom Dyeroff, there's a neat link between that show and our show that is actually through you from 2003, I think it is.
Yeah, it goes back a long time. One of the prime movers of the iPad show is a guy named Steve Bastidor, who used to be an employee for the company we worked at. And he... Yeah.
That was your company,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was. Okay. And just a wonderful story about a guy who has no real formal education and just learned everything himself. At the company, he was brought in as kind of a clerk, as a cleric. And I noticed him reading these computer books, and I said, what about trying, you know, back in the service department? And he went off, and he's a programmer. He's a great programmer, and he's great in tech support, and he just does all great technical stuff, including the iPad show.
Yeah.
And he was a guest host on this show back in 2003.
it's pretty cute. So he's going to be with us, and that's Dave Buchanan and Steve Bostador are going to be with us. They are two guys who are part of what's called the iPad show, and you'll find out more about that coming up in our notes this week and also on the show next week, and we got some other people coming in.
Right.
Let's dive right back into our call, because we've got a whole bunch of people here we'd like to get to as quickly as we can. Pat, out there on a cell phone, how can we help you here on the Internet Advisor on WJR?
Hey, first of all, from one August birthday to another, happy birthday.
Hey, thank you very much.
Happy birthday to you, too.
Great segue a couple callers ago. I use two explorers. I use Internet Explorer and I use Firefox.
Okay,
okay.
Great.
Back and forth, depending on where I go and what I need to
We do recommend that even if you're using one primarily, that you have a second one for error detection, because you never know if it's the problem with the browser or something else. So you flip over to the other one, and if you're having the same problem, then it's not the browser. It's somewhere else. If you know you don't have the problem with the other one, then you know it's the browser. You
got
to go back.
So you got a problem with one of the browsers, I understand.
Yes, I do. When I go into Firefox, you know, it was working fine. And then one day, about 2 months ago, it came up with a proxy settings error. And it's saying that the proxy is something about the proxy is not correct, and it won't let me load up any web pages at all.
On Firefox?
On Firefox.
But you can on Internet Explorer?
Yep.
Okay.
It's a perfect example of now we know it's in the browser.
Yep. Tom, any
thoughts? So, how long ago did you download your latest version of Firefox?
I actually just recently switched to wireless from dial-up, so actually my Firefox is rather old. It's older version.
So you might go to Firefox and to Mozilla.com, or I think you can actually just search on Firefox and pull it up as well, and download and install the newest version, and that might fix the problem.
Okay.
I would uninstall the current one first,
yes,
because there is a setting out there that obviously is causing you the problem. And if you load a new version right on top, you're likely to inherit that setting. Now, in Firefox...
And then to uninstall it, they go to uninstall programs.
Right.
And then, again, probably the same problem exists in Firefox, where there will be parts of that program that are in use, and so they'll have to uninstall it, and then power down, power it up, power it down one more time, and that'll uninstall all those last elements.
Okay.
And do the hokey pokey too.
Yeah.
1 foot, jump around.
Right. But there is a setting in Firefox that you might want to take a quick look at, and it's under Tools and Options, and there's a little Advanced tab over on the right-hand side. And under the Advanced tab, there's a little Network tab that you can click on. And in that Network tab, there's configure how Firefox connects to the Internet. You click on that one, and there's an option that's saying configure proxies to access the Internet. What you want there is no proxy. And odds are somehow you've got either auto-detect proxy or manual proxy configuration set up.
Okay.
And if you drill down through all that and can find it, just by clicking that button and maybe restarting Firefox, your problem may go away. I'm a little surprised that you're having the problem only in Firefox, because this has happened to me a couple times, but it's down in the Internet connections for Windows rather than just for one of the browsers.
But, yeah, like I said, it just popped up one day when I tried to load up Firefox, and I was actually shocked that I could go through and use Internet Explorer, so I just kept using that until I got a chance to call you guys, because you guys were the advisors that told me, you know, get two browsers.
Right. You know, I've heard recently that Internet Explorer usage has gone up the last couple quarters. It might be just some sort of plan from Microsoft to have this happen.
Have a problem with Firefox.
Yeah.
We like that. Okay, does it help
where,
you?
Where would we be without some conspiracy theory somewhere?
Yeah, I love them. I love them. I love them. Okay?
That helped a lot. Oh, thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. Take care of yourself. All right, let's head out and talk with Ken, who is with us from Ann Arbor, the seat of all wisdom and learning, and the Wolverines, by the way. Hi.
Absolutely.
How you doing?
Hi, guys. See, I'm considering putting Windows 7 on my mini desktop that has Vista Home Premium with the Service Pack 2. My question is, if I do an install putting Windows 7 over the Vista, what happens to all my mail files? Since Windows 7 does not carry a mail program anymore.
It does carry a mail program.
Windows 7, I use Outlook, so I don't know if it does
it
or
does
not.
Carry it. I use, matter of fact, I've used the mail program on Windows 7. Yeah, okay. It does have a mail program inherent in it, yeah. It's called mail, simply.
It came with Windows 7?
Yeah. I'm running Windows 7 Ultimate, I think, on my... again, on my wife's desktop, but when I go on to use the computer, her computer, I open up my user setting on it. I just use mail because I don't want to open Outlook on there. I just want to use the mail setting, and it opens up just fine.
And surely have a somewhat confusing what is stated up on the internet that,
really?
That if you want a mail service, you have to go get, I think they call it, what, Live Messenger?
Oh, no, not Live Messenger, but, yeah, they're driving you towards what used to be called Hotmail, which is now what Windows, it's called Windows Live Mail? Oh, it's the newfangled version of Hotmail that they got up online that's got all sorts of bells and whistles on it.
What it looks like is there's no Outlook Express in Windows 7.
There is no Outlook Express, right. And so, right. But it's simply called Mail.
So what the question maybe is what happens to the Outlook Express settings and Mail?
Okay.
And
does
it go
to
mail?
Yeah,
you know, because I don't use it. When I installed Windows 7 Ultimate, I didn't even bother to look.
So on your Vista right now, you're using Outlook Express?
Outlook Express, I got a couple thousand files there.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with losing those.
Well, you certainly, before you ever move, you want to take and save your PSTs, your personal...
good point, yeah.
You know, those personal files. So what you would do is you'd go to File and then Export,
right.
And you can pick that up and export it to a backup file. It'll automatically back that up for you. You can work through and just follow the links and the instructions back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Put it somewhere because... then you can take and install it back onto whatever system that you'd use. Unless it's a pure web-based system, you'd be able to use
Tom,
it
you
again.
Found something?
Yeah, Microsoft has a package out there called Windows Easy Transfer. And it looks like it's going to being able to do what you want to do. If you do a Google search on Windows Easy Transfer, you'll get to a page and you can download different versions of it, 32-bit, 64-bit for either XP or Vista. And I think that will help you transfer your settings from the Outlook to the new mail program.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I got one further comment.
Sure.
This, maybe this thing covered not. This concerns the passwords.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever gone to random.org, but they have... passwords there that are supposedly truly random.
Oh, they generate passwords?
Yes, for it's a mix of uppercase, lowercase, and numbers.
Right. So, but if you go to random.org?
Random.org.
And then you have to either remember it or put it somewhere so you can get to them. Right.
But it is truly it's a senseless string.
Right.
So it's a good one to use for your critical application.
Hmm. They must have gotten some of those senseless strings from the legislation coming out of Washington.
Yeah, I was just going to say, sounds like legislation. Legislation to me.
They've got a little corner. It's kind of interesting in here. You can a true random number generator, and it goes, but minimum is 1, maximum 100. So it'll generate a number somewhere in there, and then you just hit generate. It does it, and then you would grab that and use that as your password, I guess, huh?
You have to... if you're on the right program, go down there. They generate random numbers for anything from the lottery down through computer passwords and all sorts of other applications.
It does have a bunch of interesting things here in terms of free services. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, random.org. Hey, thanks for that tip.
Okay,
we appreciate it, Ken. Thank you.
Take care of yourself. A quick break, and Mike will be back with you from Highland in just a moment. Thank you so much for having been with us this evening on the Internet Advisor, and it's been a very special program for me, first of all, because of the birthday celebration. Thank you very much, Tom Dyroff. But, Tommy, just having you in here has been a birthday present as well. Tom Dyroff and Gary Baker and I formed the original team here on the Internet Advisor for many years, and it's been a delight being back with you guys again.
The pleasure's been all mine.
Having all three of you.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you here.
And Cindy Cooper, thank you for coming in, even on your weekend. It's been nice to have you here with us. Scott Anderson, as always. We have one wing of the Flying Anderson brothers here with us, and we're delighted Eric is off on vacation. Cal and Cal Carson and Ed Rudell will return next week between 5 and 7. By the way, don't forget the Internet Advisor, our homepage, internetadvisor.net, is kind of a great source for you all week long for information. There's the forums that you can click into to get your questions answered anytime you run into problems. The other thing you'll find there on the right-hand side is that you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well. And on Facebook, I'm using that more and more to post articles during the week where we've run into something in the news that we think is of importance. And if you're on Facebook right now, simply type the word Internet Advisor in that little search page at the top. It'll take you to our page. Click like on it at the top, and you'll become a fan of the page. And then anytime we post anything, you'll be notified of that as well on your Facebook page. So it's just kind of another way of keeping you in touch with what's going on. Let's go back to our phone lines and say hello to Mike from Highland. Welcome to the Internet Advisor on WJR. Mike?
Hello. I have a 4-year-old Sony laptop, and while using the Internet, there was a small popping sound, and the laptop went black. The green power indicator on the AC adapter also went out, and I'm wondering if that's a common problem that you guys recognize.
Can't say common, no, unfortunately, no. But the combination
doesn't sound good.
No, it sounds good from the combinations that you've got so far, because you've got nothing on your screen. Have you tried, do you know somebody who has a power adapter like your power adapter you could swap just to see if it is the power adapter that's popped?
No, I don't know anybody. One thing I did try to do is I took a voltage detector to the power cord, and on both sides of the AC adapter, it's hot. So there appears to be power going through it.
So this could be something in the way it connects into the laptop.
Yeah. What is the power source in the laptop, Tom?
Well, did you detect any smell coming out of the laptop, any burning smell at all?
You know, my wife did say that she thought she smelled something burning a while ago, but yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
Well, if she wasn't cooking dinner at the time, then probably it was the laptop. And
if you were cooking dinner at the time. Yeah.
We miss this drive in the time. You got to come back more often. Yeah. Also to answer these hardware problems, since you're a hardware expert. So
this is probably not good news. And if you're handy with a small screwdriver, you might take apart the laptop just to verify it. But it sounds like you burnt a component inside the laptop itself.
And that would actually indicate or be discolored?
Yes, you should find a burn mark. I don't know. You probably can, but you probably will detect a little smell in there still if it has happened in the last couple of days.
But it just happened this morning.
Yeah.
Well, then you should.
You'll know.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, eBay for a new motherboard might be your only choice to economically repair the unit.
Now, how would he know that it is the motherboard, though? Because it could be something else.
I think taking it apart and looking for the burned component on there, it will be the best clue that you've got.
Where did you buy this? Is there someplace close if you can't seem to get this done yourself?
I bought it at Best Buy. Yes, I could take it back in there, but the extended warranty that I bought has expired.
Computer seems to know that.
You might have to pay a little bit. Yeah, don't they? You might. Don't get me started on this one. I had to deal with it this week. On a Ford product, actually. You might still take it back. You'll have to probably pay a diagnostic fee. but they might be able to help you. You might also, if you take it back and you know what it is and you just say, hey, I just want to verify, maybe you can get by without paying very much since they're going to sell you something else.
Right.
That
okay.
may be a way to do it.
And again, eBay might be a choice if you buy a whole laptop right. that because you can probably move your hard drive from your existing machine over to the quote defect or the parts that you pick up from on eBay and have a working machine afterwards.
Now, if you want to pay $350 plus tax, you can buy a whole new machine that would be really nice and really fast.
How old was
64
that?
Bit. And,
Mike, how old was that machine, by the way?
It's approximately 4 years.
Yeah. The changes that have happened in laptops in the last 4 years, Gary,
and the
you
prices
may be right.
that they have dropped to.
Yeah.
Right.
My grandson loves shopping on Craigslist. And Tom, do you trust Craigslist for computer stuff?
No, I go eBay more than Craigslist.
Yeah. Okay.
Because of the spam that happens on Craigslist.
Okay,
thanks for
your help, guys.
All right, thank you very much for your call. Let's head out to Judy from South Lyon. Judy, hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, we got like about 60 seconds. Let's see what we can do for you.
Okay, I cannot click the accept button on the Adobe Reader license agreement on my new Gateway netbook that I just love, by the way. So what do? I scroll all the way down with a little side bar within that license agreement to... get Adobe Reader on this, and it doesn't show any accept button or anything. It doesn't go down all the way.
Yeah. It sounds like you might want
to... You might have a display setting that's set wrong. It's too big for the screen itself, and the way that they've developed that web page, it scrolls off the side. Let me stay on the line. Let me talk to you after the show, because we're getting ready to call it an evening.
To wrap it up and call it an evening. So I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get back to you in just a moment to wrap things up. Guys, again, thank you so much for being in here. We will be back next week from 5 until 7, and as you may have heard Dean Krauskopf saying beforehand, he was saying goodbye to his audience because Michigan State University's football season is starting, and we will be shifting some times. But we will be on next week from 5 to 7, and we look forward to seeing you then. Until then, have a great weekend. Thank you for listening to these recordings of the Internet Advisor program from August 21st, 2010. If you'd like to listen to the first hour of the program, simply return and click on that link on our homepage. We're on the air from 5 to 7 p.m. in the evening on WJR 760 AM in Detroit. If you would like to visit our homepage and find out more about our program or some specific information, visit www.internetadvisor.net. Thanks for listening.